sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost spring up on the inside of you. Come on, the song said, I'm going to wait on you. Somebody wait on the Lord. Somebody wait on the Lord right now. Come on, one more time. Why don't you clap your hands to heaven and give him a shout of praise in this place. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of God is in this place tonight. What a privilege it is to be here. Aren't you thankful that when God ordered your steps, that he brought you to a place like this? Praise God. All kinds of places you could have ended up tonight. But you ended up in a place called Spirit and Truth. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that when God led me to a place, he led me to a place like this where I can bring my wife, my children, my family, and come into a dynamic atmosphere where the presence of God is moving, where anything is possible. Praise God. What a wonderful children's choir that we heard tonight. Praise God. What an anointed group of children and young people. I love it because they do not detract from the service. We don't take a step back when they step up onto this platform. Praise God. But their spirits sink right in with what the Holy Ghost is doing in this congregation. And it is wonderful. I'm just telling you, we're seeing multiple generations of apostolics being raised up in the house. And it is so exciting to see it, to be a part of it. Thank you, Sunday school teacher. Thank you, youth leader. Praise God. Why don't we give them all a hand clap of praise, all of those who work with our kids. Thank you for the good work of ministry that you do. Praise God. We're going to go to the Word of God tonight. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, and we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. A couple of passages of Scripture. I kind of sat in the office today and wrestled with, I knew what I felt, but I didn't know how to articulate it. So I hope the Holy Ghost helps me tonight to get across what I feel in my spirit for this evening's service. Praise God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. There is a conflict, a cosmic conflict happening. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, as a result of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to title this tonight, God's Answer for the Emergence of Nuns. But I want to subtitle it, A War for the seed, a war for the seed. Put your Bible down. Let's lift up our hands and our hearts to God. God, we thank you for your presence, for your word, God. I pray, Lord, that you would consummate this moment, oh God, that you would anoint the hearer, the speaker, God. Let the word go forth with power and anointing and demonstration, God. Help us to be what you've called us to be. One more time, why don't you give him a hand clap of praise as you're seated in the presence of God. Praise God. I don't know how else to say it tonight as an introduction. I feel like something is shifting in the atmosphere all across the nation and all across the world. Something is happening in the spirit world. There is a conflict. There is a crisis that is reaching ahead in our world. Since the beginning of time, there has been this crisis, this conflict that has existed between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There has been, you could say, ancient forces, spiritual forces that have been at war over the preservation of a promised seed in the earth that would allow the plan of God and the purpose of God to unfold in the earth. There has been another seed that would represent demonic offspring of hell, the seed of the serpent, that has always sought to contaminate the purity of the seed for the potential and actualization of the kingdom of God unfolding in the earth. From the very beginning of time, the conflict in the Garden of Eden was an attempt to corrupt the seed of God. It was an attempt to corrupt the seed of God's glory and God's power in the earth, the thing that God set out to do with humanity, the amazing potential that existed within the garden. All of the gold and the silver and all of the precious stones that were present, and all of the seed and all of the potential for actualization, God set everything in motion. In the 613 Old Testament laws, there were, how many of you have read the entirety of the Old Testament laws? You understand them and you know them. You've read them in their entirety. Not many people have studied them. Some of you have, but there were a number of them that involved this idea of the seed and the preservation of the seed. And some of this stuff, if you look at it across, if you skim across the surface, it's not obvious what God was doing. But God was very particular with the nation of Israel when they were doing things that involved actualization of seed potential. God was very particular. He told them things like, do not crossbreed animals. He told them, do not, when you're planting something in the earth, do not mix seeds. He didn't want hybrid plants in the earth. And he also told the nation of Israel, do not intermarry with the nations around you. It was in the mind of God, it was the mixing of seed. And he told them, even he was particular. Now today we see garments that are polyester and rayon, or polyester and cotton, and or some of them that are 100% cotton. But God was particular about how they put materials together in their clothes. And you may say, well, God was just micromanaging the affairs of humanity. But all of this was God's attempt to make the nation of Israel understand that there was only to be one seed, and that seed, that potential, was to be protected at all costs. And so on multiple dimensions, God was emphasizing that there should not be a blending of materials. But all of this was symbolic and typological for the New Testament church. And God was trying to teach us that there should not be a blending of seed, because there is a conflict. There is a war for the preservation of the seed of the woman, which would produce, it would reproduce over time, and it would cause the people of God to actualize until it ushered in its completion and in its finality the plan of the and the purpose of God in the earth. It was the will of God that the kingdom of God come to the earth in all of its power and all of its its glory and all of its potential. I don't know about you tonight, but I am concerned with my life, my family, my home. I want the kingdom of God to come in my life in its full orb potential. I don't know about you tonight, but I am concerned about God's kingdom. I'm telling you, when the kingdom of God comes into the earth, it comes with peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. When the kingdom of God comes into the earth, it comes with miracles and signs and wonders. When the kingdom of God comes into the earth, it begins to restore, to reclaim the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm and the locust have devoured. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to some people tonight. You may have had a lot of dead things in your life and a lot of dead dreams and a lot of dead hope. I'm telling you tonight that if you could connect your life to the kingdom of God, God can begin to reverse the curse in your life. I'm talking to some people that you've lost some time. God can, in a moment, begin to restore time to you. But God was concerned about the preservation of the seed, and that's what Satan was negotiating with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was attempting to contaminate or to pollute the seed. So the central conflict driving all other conflicts, this discussion in Genesis chapter 3 is a central theme. It's poetic. It's illustrative. I would say that it encapsulates the entirety of the human story. Every war that has ever been fought, every racial conflict that there has ever been, all of the division that happens in the human narrative, all of the family conflict, everything that happened with Cain and Abel, everything that happened as the people of God continued to journey throughout their story, it all is encapsulated within this passage in Genesis chapter 3, that there will be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent into perpetuity. It's going to continue throughout time. I'm telling you, the conflict in your life today, the things that you're wrestling with, the things that you're struggling with, the family angst. I'm telling you, the loved ones that you have that have not crossed over into the kingdom of God, all of it goes back to that central theme that there is a war and a conflict for the preservation of a seed. The enemy believes that he can contaminate the plan of God in the earth, and the word of God and the spirit of God is drawing you and me and your family and your life into an arena where you are willing to contend for the preservation of the seed. I'm telling you, you have the power tonight to preserve some things that bring the kingdom of God crashing down into your world. Mama and daddy, listen to me. You have the power to pray prayers in your home that can push back the darkness that's flooding into your kids' bedroom. I wish somebody believed what I was saying tonight, that you have the power to usher in the kingdom of God in the earth in all of its glory and all of its splendor and all of its power. Praise God. This is the conflict. Satan believes that he can promote, that he can encourage the contamination of the seed of the woman. He believes that he can continue to manipulate human beings to forfeit their destiny, to forfeit their right before God, to forfeit the calling of God in their life, to preserve a seed that's gonna usher in the kingdom of God. He believes that he can pollute that seed with unrighteousness and corruption. And that is why in the parables, when the sower goes forth into the earth to sow seed, he sows good seed in the field. But what does the enemy do? The enemy comes into the field at night. He comes into the field in the middle of the night, maybe when the guy who owns the field is asleep, the enemy comes in. This is what happens on TikTok and what happens on Instagram and what happens on social media after mom and dad are in bed. When you're all by yourself, the enemy creeps into the bedroom and he begins to knock on the door of your heart, young person, and he begins to manipulate you to believe that what's out there is worth looking at. He believes that he can creep into your imagination and he can corrupt the seed. There's power on the inside of you. There's potential on the inside of you. There is the kingdom of God on the inside of you. But the enemy is convinced that he can get you looking over the fence at another field altogether. Yes, it's beautiful on the outside, but it's going to blend corruption with righteous seed. And in the process of time in your garden, some things are going to begin to grow up that are blending the righteousness of God and the holiness of godly living with corruption and worldliness. It will implant into your imagination some things that will contend with the preaching of the word of God. It will plant into your imagination some things that will compete with the purity of the seed. And that's why the apostle told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Somebody has to make up their mind tonight. I'm going to contend for the purity of the seed. I understand that there's a war happening in my world, but I'm not going to succumb to the pressure of the enemy to capitulate to what the world is watching. And oh, I'm telling you, somebody needs to get worldly music out of your cell phone. You need to get worldly friends off of your... You need to delete some applications off of your phone that are competing with the purity of the seed of the word of God in your life. I'm telling you, before this service is over tonight, somebody needs to make up in your mind, I'm going to be a preservation. I'm going to be the womb of the plan and the purpose of God. Come on, why don't you give God some praise? Come on, I need some young people to help me right now. Come on. Come on, somebody shout for just a moment. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus. If hell cannot get you to corrupt the seed, then if he can't get you to capitulate, then what is the next thing that he will do? If he can't get Abel to offer the incorrect sacrifice, if he can't get Abel to believe in a lie, if Abel offers the correct sacrifice, the next thing, I'm telling you, young people, I'm preaching right where you are tonight. Because the next thing that he will do is he will convince Cain, who is corrupt in his imagination and who is disobedient to the word of God. He will convince Cain to kill his brother. And I'm telling you, there are young people sitting on apostolic pews that you've lived your entire life living for God, facing pressure from the inside. You've lived your life getting attacked by brothers who don't want to do it right. And they say, well, you know, Brother Ben, you must be effeminate. You must be gay because you've never held a girl's hand before. Come on, you must be effeminate because you don't want to make out in the back seat of a car. You'll start to feel the pressure and you'll get an attack from the inside. That's the strategy of the enemy. But let me tell you something that may be happening out on the outside in the world, but God forbid that's happening in an apostolic youth group. This has to be the kind of place where young people can come and not get pressured by people sitting on a pew, but they can come and say, this is an environment where we can be everything that God's called us to be. Let it be the trendy thing that we carry our Bible under our arm. Let it be the trendy thing that we have a Bible study outline all highlighted up. If he can't convince you to sell out your purity, if he can't convince you to compromise when you go to school, that he will begin to work on your brother to kill the seed in you. So throughout human efforts, since the beginning of time, men like Seth and Enoch and Noah and Shem and Japheth and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph are all participants in the preservation of the seed of righteousness in their obedience to the plan of God. While warring against factions that seek, one, to contaminate their purity, or two, have them killed, thus extinguishing a righteous seed in the earth. And that's why Cain kills Abel. And that's why Pharaoh tries to kill all the Hebrew boys. And that's why Korah and Dathan and Abiram stand against Moses. And that's why Ahab and Jezebel kill Naboth and take his vineyard. Because hell knows that if a righteous man stands for God and preserves a vineyard, there's going to be a preservation of a righteous seed, and hell can't stand it. Listen, if he can't get you to compromise, he's going to try to convince somebody to take you out. But God is watching the entire time. And God is going to judge those types of efforts. Young person, listen to me. The safest place that you can be is in the middle of the prayer circle. The safest place you can be is in the middle of the worship service. The safest place you can be is in the middle of the Bible study on Friday night. I know your friends may not be hanging out there, but you just drag your sorry carcass into the middle of what God is doing and say, flesh, we're going to preserve the seed. And I'm not denigrating you tonight. I'm telling you, I've got a sorry carcass and you've got a sorry carcass because your flesh doesn't want to please God. But I understand that I'm going to praise him in my flesh. I'm going to serve him in my flesh. You've heard the bishop say it multiple times, you got to pick yourself up by the nape of your neck and you've got to drag yourself into some places your flesh wouldn't want to go. But you understand by the word of God that I have something precious living on the inside of me. You might say it like this, that we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Come on, you've got something down on the inside of you that has the potential to change your world, that has the potential to change your family. I'm telling you, Sister Kara, what's on the inside of you has the potential to affect your family. Don't let the enemy steal it away. Don't let him bring condemnation. Come on, now there is, therefore, no condemnation. There's a war, there's a fight, there's a conflict. So he seeks to kill off the righteous seed. Prophets have spoken, even in modern day, about the plan of God for the nation that we're living in. I've heard them say that the twofold purpose of God in raising up America is to defend and protect Israel and to preach and propagate the gospel to the whole earth. And that is precisely what she has done for the last century. America has been a safe haven for a Judeo-Christian ethic and worldview, for freedom of speech, for individual liberty, for expression of God consciousness. But I'm telling you what I feel in my spirit tonight, what I have felt for a number of weeks and months, is that something is shifting in the atmosphere. On college campuses, there is anger. In the streets of major cities, there is a level of animus that I have never seen before. As we've talked about in the past, in bookstores, on social media, in the media itself, there is a level of vitriol against Christianity that is shifting the landscape in a profound way. And I am not tonight trying to be a doomsday prophet. That is not what I'm here to do. But I want to tell you that change is coming to our world. Change is coming to America. Change is coming to the globe. There is an emerging generation that absolutely hates righteousness. There is an emerging generation that is in an outright war for the preservation of the seed. They are attempting to get people to compromise our apostolic identity. And if that fails by absolutely destroying people who hold up a standard of any sort. But I'm telling this generation, if there's ever been a time for a generation to rise up, it's right now. If there's ever been a time for a people to live for God, it's right now. If there's ever been a time for a people to preserve the seed, it's right now. I'm telling you, generation, it's time to stand up and defend the faith. It's time to be overtly apostolic. In your prayer room, it's time to be apostolic. In your intercession, it's time to be apostolic. In your worship, it's time to be apostolic. I'm telling you, there's never been a time like the time that we're living in for you to rise up and say everything that every generation before me was is what I'm going to be. Come on, they suffered for the gospel. I'm willing to suffer for the gospel. They laid their lives on the line. I'm willing to lay my life on the line. Come on, they suffered ridicule to be the people of God. I'm just telling you, this is the kind of day to be a one God, apostolic, Pentecostal church. It's the kind of day to intercede like we've never interceded before. It's the kind of day to pray with a fervency we've never prayed with before. It's the kind of day to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. It's the kind of day to go out into your city, into the highways and byways, and compel them to come. Come on, is there a John the Baptist? Is there an Esther who said, maybe I was called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Is there a prophet? Is there a dreamer of dreams? Is there an intercessor? Come on, shout to God. Shout to God. Shout to God. Come on, that's it. Somebody make noise. Somebody cry out to God. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. If you're going to be a Bible study teacher, come on, the opportunities of a lifetime have to be capitalized in the lifetime of the opportunity. I'm telling you, this dispensation is drawing to a close. If you're going to do something for God, you need to go ahead and get it done. If you're going to pray great prayers, you need to go ahead and pray them. If you're going to live a life of holiness, you need to go ahead and live it. If you're going to be an intercessor, you need to go ahead and be an intercessor. We are not going to pass this way again. We've got to get done for God what we're going to get done in this dispensation, because it's drawing to a close. It's not a day for compromise. They're not hiding anymore, Brother Antoine. They're not sugarcoating it anymore. The political conversations, They're not doing it with smoke and mirrors anymore. It's out in the open. It's in front of your face. It's being flaunted in the media and on social media. In the last week, I have an Instagram account. Most of you don't even know that it's me, because it's an old Developing the Difference account that occasionally I log on to, just to see what's happening in the world, to check up on things. And here in the last week, there have been the most vile images popping up on that Instagram search engine. videos and clips from movies with the most satanic images that I have seen in my entire life. Hollywood is ramping up the activity. It is getting so gory and so violent and so perverse in our day. I'm just telling you, they're not hiding anymore. The scales are being tipped in this nation in a way that I have not seen it in my lifetime. And it is not a day for the church to be hiding the fact that we talk in tongues. No, 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 1,000 times no. It's not the kind of day to be hiding your uncut hair, young person. It's not a day to act like you're not holiness at school. The world has pulled out all the stops in the attempt to contaminate the seed. And it's time for the church to be as apostolic as we've ever been. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. I was visiting with a family this week that I've been trying to win to God for a long time. I was drinking coffee. And as I was sitting there talking about their life and their family and everything happening, they began to ask me about a backslider. They said, what's going on with so-and-so? And there's a language barrier there, so we're trying to work through our English and Spanish complications because I don't speak Spanish and they don't speak English as fluently as maybe they will at some point. And I said, well, I mean, you know, that individual no longer comes to church. And they said, but it's bad. And they went to TikTok and started scrolling through some of the images, the things that were being said and talked about. And I was shocked about what can happen in an apostolic's life. Listen, we're living in a day where you can't hide this stuff anymore. It's not being hidden. So we don't talk about it. I mean, it's out there in the public square. It's being done on blast. It's not a day for the church to be in hiding. It's not a day for the church to be incognito. I'm just telling you, it's not a day for you to be hiding the fact that you talk in tongues from all of your Baptist and Presbyterian friends, baby. It's a day to say, listen, you've got cancer, I've got a God. And pardon me if while we're praying, I talk in tongues. Young lady, you've got power on your head because of your uncut hair. Don't be ashamed of it because they don't have the power, but you've got the power. You've got power to tread on serpents. You've got power to, oh my God in heaven, I wish I could take a lap. Will somebody take one for me? You've got the power. They're looking for what you have. Tonight in the streets of Birmingham, they're dressed up, celebrating the dead. In your local bookstore, they have replaced godly values with spiritualism. Judeo-Christian values represented in self-help and self-development. They're being repainted with body, mind, and spirit, tarot cards, books on the occult, oracles, worship of the human body, becoming one with nature, witchcraft, sorcery, yoga, Wiccan, crystal energy, astrology, psychic activity, the paranormal, black art, spells, magic, signs, mediums, witches, warlocks, vampires, plants and herbs, Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern meditation, African goddess meditation, a new earth, new age, ghosts, the DNA of gods. And you know what we have? We have the Shema Israel. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Ehud, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You've got the power. You have the authority. You have the anointing. Preach the word, young person. Teach the Bible study. Witness to your friends at school. You have everything that you need to make a difference in your world. Brother Sam, come. Let's be apostolic. Let's be apostolic. Let's have a move of God. Let's have a move of God. Let's not play church, church. They've painted their bodies. I'm telling you, traditional baby showers have changed. I've had people in the last couple of weeks send pictures of people who are now having baby showers dressed as witches and warlocks in South Alabama, in the Bible Belt. It's a different day. Your neighbors, your friends, people that you work with and go to school with. It's a different day, America. The scales are tipping. But this conflict has been in place since the very beginning. The war over the seed. That's why, young lady, that's why he wants your purity. He wants your innocence. He wants your virtue. What he wouldn't do to get you to look in the mirror with those images of Vogue in the back of your mind, thinking, I'm not beautiful. I'm not what I could be. What he wouldn't do to get you to pull out those scissors and begin to trim away that beautiful hair. Because you have power. He knows you have power. Young man, middle-aged man, what he wouldn't do to get you to flirt with that coworker. What he wouldn't do to get you to go places on the internet to begin to peruse those sites. Because he knows there's a war for the seed. And then when you fall, what he wouldn't do to get you to stay down. Feel condemned. Feel like God didn't want to use you. What he wouldn't do to hold you down on the ground, to silence the sermons that are locked up on the inside, to silence the Bible studies that you could teach in condemnation, because he knows. He knows, Josh, what will happen if you walk away. He knows what will happen if you give up. Rejoice not against me, though my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. We're at war for this seed,
for the preservation of this seed in the earth. And just to tie this package together, if you were in Sunday school or youth class this morning, when Rachel, and really quite frankly, all the other barren women in Scripture started to cry out to God. When Rachel said, "Give me a child or I die." What she was saying was, faithful people, righteous people, people who have the Spirit of God and the destiny of God on their life, they have to produce. They have to actualize. They have to replicate in the kingdom of God. And if I can't produce in some form or fashion, if I can't reproduce myself, then the seed, the light of God, is extinguished in the earth. She started to produce, and she produced Joseph. And we talked about the fact this morning that there's a physiological, biological process whereby that mama, when she's carrying that baby, something is happening on a cellular level between her and that baby. There's an exchange of cells. The baby is being nurtured and cared for in the womb of the mother. But at the same time, cells are coming from the mama, from the baby back to the mama, that have healing components. That those cells coming back to the mama have the capacity, if she has something damaged in her heart, those cells will travel back to the mama and begin to do the work of repair on the inside of her, of mama. And the reality of it is even if that baby miscarries or if that baby dies at some point in the process, for years and years and years in that mama's body, there still will be this cellular activity of what came from the baby nurturing mama. And that is part of what Paul was saying when he says that we are saved in childbearing. Because there are some things in us that will never heal. There are some things on the inside of us that will never be resolved until we begin to reproduce ourselves in the kingdom of God. That's why Zion travails. That's why she intercedes. That's why she stands in the gap and why she makes up the hedge. And that is why she's concerned with replication. Because in the process of doing that righteous action, that person is suspended by the righteousness of God, and healing begins to flow back into their life. God is calling this generation to stand up, to be seen, to intercede for your city, to cry out for people who are broken. It is a broken world. It is a broken world. The people looking now in Eastern religions, the people searching for peace and transcendental meditation because pulpits are not preaching the Word of God anymore, and because the fire is not hot in the house of God, the people who are searching, the people who are looking, the people who are desperate, you have everything that they need. The seed of God is on the inside of you. God is calling us to be salt and light. God is calling us to stand in the gap. God is calling us to make up the hedge. Why don't you stand tonight? Every hand lifted to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Dim the lights. Dim the lights for me, please. I just want to have a move of God for just a little bit tonight. Come on, this altar is open. This altar is open. Bring your family. Bring your life down to the front. Come and cry out to God in this house tonight. Come on, they're painting their faces. They're dressing up like witches and warlocks. They're looking for hope in every conceivable place. But this is the house of God. We are the people of the Most High God. Come on, intercede now. Prayer warrior, pray. Somebody cry out to God. That's it, Mama. Cry out. Somebody cry out for your city tonight. Somebody intercede for your loved ones. He said, I looked for a man, somebody to stand in the gap. Somebody to make up the hedge. I wondered that there was no intercessor. You have the seed on the inside of you. Somebody water that seed right now. Come on, find somebody to lay your hands on right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir it.